Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Elton John is your artist of the day because he's awesome. We are going to continue on and take a few more calls on this because so many of you are trying to get in. You've been very patient as we talk about the death of this 21-year-old who died rationing his insulin, could not afford to keep up with the cost. And I had asked our last caller, if you are diabetic, and I don't know if this is type 1 and 2 or just type 1, what physically happens to you if you are rationing your insulin or you stop taking your insulin? And he mentioned the term ketoacidosis. And one of our listeners texted in and said, my dad got ketoacidosis. His blood sugar spiked over 700. He went into a diabetic coma and he was dead in 3 days. 576-7798. Let's go to Kathy in Lee's Summit. You've been very patient. Thank you for holding.
Well, thank you for listening to me. My husband is a type 2 diabetic, and his blood sugar was not being very well controlled, and he was using the insulin pen, and because he was on Medicare, it was getting very expensive, and so he talked to his doctor about that, and the doctor said, well, that's too bad. You're just going to have to suck it up. And
how expensive, Kathy? How expensive?
This was about 4 years ago, and it was like $300 or $400 a month. Mm. And so he didn't like the doctor's attitude about it because he'd heard a few other things that sounded like the doctor was in the pharmaceutical company's pocket. And so he switched to an endocrinologist. And when he made the same complaint to her, she said, well, you can go to Walmart without a prescription and get it for $25. And you know, you just have to learn to use a needle, a syringe. And so she taught him how to do that and how to measure it. And so that's what he does. And his diabetes is very well controlled this way. Now, I'll be the first to admit that I'm sure there are different strengths.
Yes. And Kathy, real quick, and Kathy, thank you for the call. And I am so glad that worked for your husband, but you are absolutely right. And I don't know if we're talking about apples and oranges, but I feel like we might be, because if it was available for $25 and would help everyone, I find it hard to believe this 21-year-old would have died. I think he was in the camp where we're talking hundreds or thousands of dollars for him to treat it. And that's another question I have, and I think a lot of our listeners have. How come some of it's $25, some of it's $300, and some of it's $1,000? Why?
I did talk with somebody, I think it was from the University of Kansas Health System, and they said there's multiple different types.
Yeah.
And if you can find that cheaper type, you're lucky. But not everybody can take that.
Right. Let's go to Dennis in St. Joe. Hi, Dennis.
Yes. Well, I don't have diabetes, but I have OCPD. And all I wanted to, you know, was talking about how the prices raise so quick. I took them. We had five or six pharmacies in St. Joe. We're down to one. The mom and pop, that kind of pharmacy, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
I was like Stevenson's, and we had five or six. Now we've got Walgreens, and we've got CVS. They've taken Hy-Vee. That's it. You got to go to the Bell Highway in St. Joe to get a prescription pill. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And anyway, for 8 years, I'm mucus in your lungs. My It cost $25 for my prescription. And then one day I went in and they told me it was $140, and I thought, well, you've made a mistake.
Right.
This thing's always cost me $25. And she said, well, we'll call the head pharmacist. And he came up and I asked him, is this what happened? They made a mistake. They charged me too much for my prescription. And he said, no. He said, what has happened is they defunded it. I said, well, who? He said, well, it would be the health and services or the government. The government has defunded it, and they've raised it $100 to $140. That was the end of it. I owe $140.
Oh, Dennis.
And I have to have it to take the mucus out of my lungs, or otherwise have to go in your back with a needle and then take it out.
Which I'm sure is more expensive than just giving you the medication that you've always had at $25. That's the big thing that I don't understand, especially with insulin and how very quickly things can go wrong for a patient who will then end up in the ER, which is 10,000 times the cost of what it would be just to provide the insulin. It really is mind-boggling that people are having to make these types of choices. Let's go to David in Ottawa. Hi, David.
Hi, how y'all doing?
Hi, good, good.
Nice to be back in Kansas and be able to listen to y'all.
Well, we're glad to have you.
My 12-year-old son is type 1 diabetic, and there are so many different kinds of insulin out. There's not a whole lot, but there's several kinds out, and you actually need to find the insulin that works for that person because it's going to be different with everyone.
Yeah.
Say a generic over a Humalog. But the prices are ridiculous. They're $300 a vial in Georgia, where I live now, compared to the $200 they were in Kansas. Luckily, we have insurance, and it covers a lot.
But for the exact same thing, David, you're saying?
Exact same thing. And he is on an insulin pump, which the pump is $5,000 alone. And $2,000 after the insurance covers it, and you have to make them last 5 years. Otherwise, you're going to be paying $5,000 out of pocket for a new pump.
David, your son is 12?
12 years old.
Do you already worry down the road when he's 21, 25, 26, if he goes to college, that this cost is going to be passed on to him as a young adult, and we are seeing so many young adults struggle to pay that bill?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I worry about it nightly. My wife and I both have didn't know a thing about diabetes. We had some type 2 in the family, but type 1 is a completely different ball game compared to just having to take a pill. But like I said, I'm no expert on type 1 or type 2 diabetes. I just know what we've had to deal with,
and that your son needs
the last 5 years.
Yeah, well,
because he's actually on a constant glucose monitor, which monitors your blood sugar every 5 minutes, and it will tell you what your blood sugar is, and it keeps you from having to poke your finger anywhere from 5 to 12 times a day.
Right.
Because with kids, they have a honeymoon period that they can. He went from 700 when he was first diagnosed, and we're still dealing with blood sugars where he'll go up to 300-400 and drop down 20 minutes later to 60.
Oh, my goodness. David, thank you for the call. We do wish you luck. You know what I wish for? Leadership. I wish for leadership that someone steps forward and says, you know, in one of these young men's names, says, enough. Let's go to David in Harrisonville. Hi, David.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, this story hits really, really, really close to home for me. I've been diabetic for 21 years, and I've actually been in that situation on having to ration my insulin. I've also had to make the choice of, do I pay my mortgage or do I feed my family? And so it hurts my heart that I have to hear this time and time again, not only in the news stories, but I'm in Facebook groups with diabetics, and it happens all over the country, and you don't even hear about it a lot of the time.
David, what is your monthly cost?
My monthly cost, this gentleman that was he just called in with a COPD, I believe, with stuff in his lungs.
Yeah.
I also use that program now. It's called, can I say the program name?
No, because most people wouldn't know it anyway, but go ahead.
So, I use a program out of St. Joe. And I get my 3 month supply of insulin for $25 now, roundabout, something like that. But before I found that, it was like $600 a month at least. Just recently, my 4-year-old son got diagnosed with diabetes, three months ago. So we're still in the thick of it.
And so, David, you will have, or you could have, double the cost in your family.
Yes, ma'am. The CHIP program that my kids were on, they actually kicked him off of his insurance. So now he doesn't have any insurance at all. He has two types of insulin that he has to take because I'm on an insulin pump and I don't need the long-acting one that I would take overnight that would last all day.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't. So he has one insulin that's $500 a month, and he has another insulin that's over $600 a month.
My God.
And that's just the insulin. That's not even the test strip. That's not...
That's actually, just for the medication. Unbelievable. David, thank you for the call. 576-7798. If you would like to weigh in, you can text in at 22980. More straight ahead. You're listening to Dana and Parks. Thank you for your calls and your texts on this. Some of the stories are eye-opening, they are heartbreaking, and they are mind-boggling. I just don't understand it. And I know so many Americans are dealing with the skyrocketing cost of all medications, but really when you're talking about insulin, it defies human decency that the cost has gone so high that people are dying. They're dying because they are rationing that medication. 576-7798. Let's go to Amanda in Liberty. Hi, Amanda.
Hey, Dana. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah. I wanted to say thank you, first of all, for talking about this. I don't have a solution for the high cost of insulin, but I do think that the more that we talk about it, the more likely it is that something will happen and we'll get those prices down. But I wanted to just comment on the $25 insulin and what the difference is there between that and the really expensive insulin.
Okay.
It's just an older insulin where the patent has run out. And for a long time, these were the only kinds of insulins that we had available to treat diabetes. So they absolutely can keep somebody alive. They're just not as effective in preventing the long-term complications because they're a little more difficult to use. But,
got it.
You know, my heart goes out to this young man because if he had known about that, I think he would still be alive today.
Well, and I feel like we hear these stories where someone's like, it's $1,000 or it's $600. There's no way they would have known about a cheaper alternative if that alternative would have worked for them, because had they known that, they would have gone with the cheaper alternative.
Right, right. But I just wanted to mention, and I'm not going to say the names of any, you know, specific stores or apps or anything. I know we're not supposed to do that on the radio, but there are apps out there that people can get that can help them get their medication costs down. And there also are FQHCs, federally qualified healthcare centers, for people who are uninsured or maybe they have Medicaid and they can't find a primary care in their area who takes Medicaid, who can help them with the cost of those medications as well.
And hey, Amanda, you can go ahead and mention the app. That's absolutely fine.
Oh, okay, great. So GoodRx is a really good app that people can get. It's also a website.
Okay.
They just plug their location and the name of their medication in there. It's not going to bring it down to, you know, pennies on the dollar,
right,
but it's going to help some.
GoodRx. Okay, thank you so much, Amanda, for the call and the information. Let's go to Jacob quickly in Independence. Hi, Jacob.
Hi. I know we have short time, so I just want to preface this by saying I am diabetic. I was in this kid's position a year ago, okay? I, like your caller earlier, I told my doctor I couldn't afford it. He basically said, well, too bad, you have to have it. Deal with it, figure it out. I didn't like that answer. I went and changed doctors. The doctor I have now is amazing. She ran I have insurance, but she ran four or five different insulins through my insurance before she found one that they would cover almost 80% of.
Sure.
Then, on top of that, she went and she found a coupon that she had for that same insulin that lasts a year. So now, instead of paying $300 a month, I pay $5. So I really suggest talking to your doctor. If you don't like the opinion your doctor has, or if your doctor just blows you off, go find a different opinion. Go find
somebody vigilant.
Who will listen to you. Because it does wonders. I went from not being able to afford it to being in the same position as this kid. And now, like I said, now I'm paying $5 a month.
Jacob, I am so glad to hear it. Truly am so glad to hear it. GoodRx was the name of the app. If you are calling in, if you are in the situation that this young man was in, please look that up and keep looking around for help if you need it, because several callers pointed out they kept looking, and found help. We will post that story on our KMVZ Facebook page. I'll put it on Twitter as well, 576-7798. We are going to move on in the latter part of this hour.
Don't you know I'm still standing better than I ever did? Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. I'm still standing after all this time, picking up the pieces of my life without you on my mind. I'm still standing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Jam or no jam?
Oh, that's a jam.
Ah, really? I thought you were going to say it's too hard.
No, you know, they're not everything that is not a jam is automatically too hard, but that one doesn't, you know, it's not loaded up with a bunch of guitar and stuff like that.
It's one of the worst videos of all time. It is one of the cheesiest, most awful, on a beach, horrible music videos of all time.
But it's on a beach, which makes it better.
That's all right. It's
anything
all good.
Is better on a beach.
A couple of stories to update you on, and then I want to ask you a question, Will, and you too, Sam. The Chiefs fan who pointed the laser at Tom Brady, case went to court. It's all said and done. I actually reached out to his daughter on Facebook and said, hey, does he want to call in? Because remember, he refused to apologize. 64-year-old Dwayne Morgan of Lee's Summit, Missouri, pleaded guilty to a single count of disturbing the peace in Jackson County Municipal Court this week and paid the fine. The fine, any guesses? I think he faced a year in jail and a $1,000 fine. He got no time and a $500 fine.
Got off easy.
Yeah. There are two ways to look at this. Nobody got hurt. $500 fine. He's banned from going to Arrowhead. I assume he's not supposed to go to Arrowhead. But I would almost rather see the fine be bigger to prohibit some other dum-dum from trying the same thing.
Right, because, use it as a deterrent.
You know, and I don't think this should happen against any quarterback, but can you imagine someone doing the exact same thing to Patrick Mahomes in any game?
Oh, this fan base would lose its mind.
The fan base would not only lose its mind, it would probably track down the perpetrator and, like, do illegal...
Yeah, they wouldn't make it out of the stadium safely.
That's my point. Like,
And that would be, like, if it was a preseason game against the Browns, it would be that way.
Correct.
Let alone we're talking a conference championship game.
Yeah, I feel like it needs to be a little more cost prohibitive than $500. So in May, Dwayne Morgan went on Inside Edition. Now, why you would do that, I don't know, but he did. And said, yes, I had consumed a few beers. I just wanted to distract Brady, adding, quote, nope, when asked if he'd apologize. Although he said he didn't think the incident would go this far, he said, I shouldn't have done it.
One question I have is, could Tom Brady file charges?
He couldn't file charges. There could certainly be some type of civil suit if you were injured by someone using a laser pointer. But, and this is just my guess, Tom Brady probably has more money than Dwayne Morgan from Lee's Summit. I don't know that. That's a guess. So there's that update. And then this study I wanted to ask you guys about. This is just a fun little story after kind of a heavy hour last week. A new study shows happy people seek out strangers while sad people seek out friends. This is from the Daily Mail. Perhaps counterintuitively, when we are happy, we seek out strangers and new people to interact with, new research suggests. When we're feeling glum, we are more likely to find ourselves reaching out to close friends, relatives, and companions. Humans by nature are social creatures, yada, yada, yada. But Harvard University found we find happiness in different kinds of interactions, depending upon how happy we are to begin with.
I'm not even remotely surprised by this.
Now, see, I am.
Not even close.
Why?
Well, because whenever you are in a foul mood or in a sad mood, you're more likely to go to the people that you know are the most comforting, the people that are going to judge you the least.
Okay.
Those are going to be your friends as opposed to random people.
And you might be afraid of projecting your sadness onto said random people.
Right.
Yeah. Your confidence is lower, so you're not going to go up to strangers. That's just what it is. I mean, to me, this seems like a why'd we study that study?
I think maybe, certainly in my women's group, if someone has had a really rough week or a rough day, a group text will go back and say, oh my gosh, can you meet up? I've had a really rough week. And, you know, we'll all meet up, have a glass of wine or whatever. But this says it is men and women. Here's what I don't necessarily agree with, that we would seek out strangers when we're in a great mood. And maybe it's because I'm just 45 and I don't seek out strangers.
Like, your confidence is up.
I'm good. Like, I don't.
Sure.
I'll chat with somebody on an airplane, but I'm not like looking to go join a bunco group, well, I guess is what I'm saying.
And I don't know if it's seeking them out, but you're just more willing, as you said, like to chat with somebody on an airplane. Whereas I mean, if you're depressed, I'm assuming that you're probably going to keep to yourself.
Yeah. You're more likely to have that conversation with the cashier or whatever than you would otherwise.
Do you always talk to the cashier?
Not always, but if my mood is good, typically I will. If my mood is foul, typically I won't.
Now that's interesting. Take the cashier. This study is spot on when it comes to the cashier because I always try very hard, no matter what kind of day I'm having, to say, hi, how you doing? You know, great. Make small talk over the items I'm purchasing, which always seems to happen. But if I'm in a foul mood, like super foul,
mm-hmm.
I am not in the mood for small talk if I'm really in a bad mood.
Precisely.
Yeah, in my tenure working for a gas station here locally, I have found that to be just the same. And you can almost judge people's moods based off of how they interact with you.
Right. I even said one day to my longtime sacker, who I love, I've had the same sacker at the grocery store for 15 years.
Wow.
And I said, I won't say his name. Let's say his name was Will. I get up to the checkout counter. I'm putting my items up. I don't even remember. I was in a horribly foul mood. And I said, Will, I love you. I am having a crap day. I just got
Let's
nothing
not
right
talk
now.
About it.
I got nothing.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about my items right now. And he's like the nicest guy you have ever met. And then the next day I was back in there and I was like, I'm sorry, I was in a bad mood yesterday.
And, you know, he probably gets that all the time.
Or you get the person that just keeps their head down. And I feel like, and it's been a while since I've worked in a retail setting, I think human nature, you take it almost personally. And Sam, you worked at a gas station. Did you take it personally if people looked down or were on their phone and didn't even acknowledge you existed?
I mean, it was kind of annoying, but I never really took it personally. No, it was just like I dealt with so many people
right.
in a short amount of time that if I would let that get to me,
it would drive
I'd
you
go
crazy.
Insane.
Well, yeah, because how many people did you deal with over the course of an hour? What, easily?
Hundreds.
Right.
We would do like 1,500 transactions in 3-4 hours. So,
yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people.
So you can't be like Chatty Cathy with all of them.
No. And honestly, though, when generally that would be better if they would just come up and do their business and leave. Than if they
do
wanted
their
to stand
business,
there and talk about
make it sound like they're
yeah,
leaving
know,
something
weird.
On the counter.
Or when you say, how are you doing today? And the universal response that we all just really want is, great, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Great, thanks, how are you? But every once in a while, you'll get the person, how are you doing today?
well, my dog done died, and
I've had my fair share of those
right.
responses.
Like, I didn't really want to know how you were doing.
I'm not here to be your therapist, son.
I am getting paid to ask you how you're doing. You know that, right?
Did they make you say, were you expected to say, how are you doing?
Yeah, there were three things that we had to say. And if you said them and there was like a secret shopper, you got a $50 bonus. And hello, and hello, how are you doing was one of those things.
No way.
Yep. It's pretty cool.
What else were you supposed to say?
Thank you, and then see you next time.
Okay, well, that's good. hello, thank you, and see you next time. And you know what? That everyone that is in retail should be in the business of saying those three things.
Now, did it have to be hello, or could it be a variation like hi or
what
hey?
Up?
Or,
oh, trust me, I stretched it as far as I could and okay. used as many variations as possible.
I was going to say, because no one says hello outside of writing it or singing the Lionel Richie song at karaoke. Like, if you stop and think about it, an average, and answering the phone. Those are the only times anyone says hello. Everyone else says hi, hey.
Howdy.
In Texas, sure. I mean, just hello doesn't seem to be part of our regular vocabulary.
What about what up, dog?
Yeah, that no, too. Honestly, though, I used to resort to like, sup, dude.
That works.
Hey, man.
I love it. All right. We have a whole lot of things in front of me that I'm supposed to talk about because I want to, and we don't have a ton of time. So some of this is going to get kicked to tomorrow. I know on Middays they talked about this license plate reader in, I think it's fair to say, a more upscale neighborhood. And I do want to talk about that a little bit with the time we have left this hour, because are you on that neighborhood app? Like, there's eNeighbors and there's, you know, I don't know. Usually it's just gossip and worthless information. Like, does anyone know where I can find a plumber? I'm like, Google. Anyway, if you're on those websites in your neighborhood, from time to time, they will post crime. And to be completely honest, that is the only reason I'm on that website. Just in case someone gets murdered four doors down, I would like to know. And lo and behold, I'm listening to Middays today, and they're talking about using this license plate reader to look at cars coming in and out of this neighborhood. And I get one of these e-news alerts that we had a string of car break-ins right where I live at 2 o'clock this morning. And I'm going to tell you about that when we come back, what they stole, how they stole it, how the Ring cameras, I think, are going to help track these idiots down. And I have changed my mind about these license plate readers. I think it's a great idea. We're going to tell you who's doing it, what it's all about, and I want to know, would you like that at the entrance to your little slice of the world? And if not, why? Public Street, 576-7798. More on Dana and Parks straight ahead.
On your mark, ready, set, let's go. Dance for bro.
I love that song. That's been a while. Welcome back to Dana and Parks. Scott is on a beach somewhere. We'll be back next week. A couple of stories I want to update here, and I know they talked about this on Middays, but I did not realize when I was listening in the car that we had a string of break-ins in our neighborhood overnight. So I'm going to read you what I got from our little e-neighbors website. You know, you sign up and they verify your address and all that stuff. I'm trying to remember what the other one's called. There's e-neighbors and anyway, there's a couple of them. It says, around 2 a.m. this morning, our security camera caught a dark-colored minivan with two men checking our car doors and our side entry garage door. Now, that freaks me out almost more than any other statement, because here's the deal. At 2 a.m., you can assume most people are at home in bed, sound asleep, right? And that side entry garage door is a big one. How often do you check that side entry garage door? The little door, not the big garage door, the little door. So these two idiots come by and, you know, kind of wiggled the doorknob on that side entry garage door. And I guarantee you, here's what they were doing. They were going to go in the garage and see if, ladies, your purse is in your car, or see if your purse is in your car, your key fob is in your purse. They just press the ignition button, open your main garage door with the garage door opener that you have provided them in your car, and then they will drive right out. We had, I think, two cars stolen. It was about a year ago in our neighborhood, and that's what they did. They walked into that little side entry garage door, got in the car that was in there, pressed the button, took off with the car, the purse, the whole nine yards. So The email goes on to say, we've updated to a better camera, but if you have a camera, can you please look around 2 a.m. and see if you have other footage so we can catch these guys? And a couple things, that side garage door really, really freaks me out. So just FYI, make sure that thing is locked every night, because that's how they get you. Number two, I'm listening to Middays, and they are talking about this neighborhood that decided to put license plate readers at the entrance of the neighborhood. And I'm curious, where you live, would that even be possible to do based on the layout of your neighborhood? My guess is it's easier if you've got like a, you know, fancy schmancy gated neighborhood. But a lot of people were saying earlier, like, no, that is too big brother. I don't want someone looking at me when I'm coming and going, or if I'm rolling in at 2 a.m. Well, look, there's Mr. Roberts coming in at 2:15. What was he doing tonight? But then I read this story that these guys in our neighborhood last night are breaking in to people's cars. And in fact, someone replied to this thread and said they did get into my husband's car and they got his wallet and a bunch of other stuff out of the car. I am all for this license plate reader idea. And if you are not, we're going to talk about that in the coming hour. If you don't think that's a good idea, I want to know why. Because if you belong in your own neighborhood and you're coming and going, I don't think that that's going to somehow be gossip in the neighborhood. But if they have, this is how these security systems work. I'm just going to tell you right now. We have one. We have cameras inside. We have cameras outside. Do you know when you pull up those cameras to look at something?
When something goes wrong.
When something goes wrong. I don't sit here all day and scroll through 14,000 video clips of my cat peeing on the couch.
Okay,
which
you
is
look
what
through
I would
it
get.
More than most. Let's
right.
be honest.
There's no, no, I really don't. But if something goes wrong, number one, you immediately go and pull the clip. If one of the kids goes flying down the stairs and falls, they will text me because they think it's hilarious and be like, I just fell down the stairs. I think it's on tape. So we have a whole library of people falling in the house. That's it. I find it hard to believe that even if they did this license plate reader thing to see who's coming and going, that somebody's going to be sitting in there and, oh, look at that. Look who's rolling in late, or who's he with? I don't see that happening. I think that that is a little conspiratorial.
The text line has a bit of a decent point, though. Like, what if a wannabe, you know, perpetrator gets a hold of that information? Then they know when you're home and when you're not. They know your patterns.
Okay.
If they want to break into your house and they know, oh, Miss Wright leaves every
right.
day at this
or
time and doesn't
works
return.
Overnights. Yeah. That's not bad. But if you have a security system on your own house, you're going to know who's coming and going anyway. I don't know. Let me know what you think. 576-7798 is the number you can call. Pardon me. Or you can text me at 22980. This is going on in Aurora, Colorado, which I believe is a suburb of Denver, is it not? A nice suburb. And I had to laugh. The name of the neighborhood is Bel Air Estates. Now, I'm not saying that that's a fancy schmancy neighborhood, but with a name like Bel Air Estates, it's probably, you know, it's probably not bad. That's my guess. And the cameras will go on the light poles. Stand watch over the community. I love it. 576-7798. You can text us at 22980. Let me look here on the text line. Stand by. Nope. Cannot read that one. This says license plate readers will not help identify thieves. The thieves are more than likely coming into your neighborhood in cars they have already stolen.
Also a good point.
I don't know. Someone else wants to know what the HOA folks, the crazy HOA folks, have access to your information. Yeah.
Yeah, that is a good question of who would be able to access the cameras and when.
I just feel like with the license plate reader, it's going to be just like the surveillance camera, that you don't pull that thing until you need it because someone's roaming around breaking into cars. But we'll see. 576-7798. You can text us at 22980. There's one open line if you want it.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.